working so hard, grinding hand and foot, product of a single mother that I don't wanna bother, working like a man, I never had a father, met him when I was far too born, you know, big and grown, so I stuck in my zone, learned as I go, a man is just a man, like a rose is just a rose, but I grew from the concrete, they couldn't stop me, try to hold me back, but you know G-O-D had me, obstacles in life can make you do a spin, juke move, this ball crossover make your shoe, but I learned so much when I was in my cocoon, how to handle the hate and do a spin joke too, wrapped in a silky case so tight, I thought I'd choke, but a monarch flew right out of the web, she evoked, was a caterpillar, had to transform into a butterfly, was a caterpillar, had to transform into a butterfly.
Is Democracy Now!
What we've seen over the last couple of weeks is the shareholders of Pfizer and Moderna making an absolute fortune on these vaccines, when actually we should be treating them as a public good, ensuring that everyone's vaccinated so we can get over this pandemic as quickly as possible.
As nations brace for a new surge of coronavirus cases due to the Omicron variant, a new study shows the top 8 Pfizer and Moderna shareholders made $10 billion last week as their stock holdings soared. This comes as the Biden administration stalled on its promises to implement a $2.5 billion plan to thwart Omicron-like variants. We'll get the latest. Then the Biden administration's resumed Donald Trump's Remain in Mexico program after being ordered to do so by a judge. Human rights advocates warn the policy puts asylum seekers in grave danger.
So every once in a while, there's an incident like what happened in Del Rio that really brings that to the forefront of people's minds. But we really need people to understand the really grave danger that people are being placed in when they're turned away at the border or returned to Mexico under a policy like this.
Plus, we look at how the nation's first supervised drug injection sites have opened in New York City in a bid to fight a rise in overdose deaths. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Justice Department sued Texas over its heavily gerrymandered political maps, charging Republican lawmakers drew new districts that favor white voters despite the rapid growth of Black and Latinx communities in Texas. Associate Attorney General Vinita Gupta said Monday the new maps show clear signs of discrimination.
Texas will gain 2 new congressional seats because of its population growth, almost all of which is due to growth in the state's minority population. However, Texas has designed both of those new seats to have white voting majorities. The congressional plan also deliberately reconfigured a West Texas district to eliminate the opportunity for Latino voters to elect a representative of their choice. This is the third time in 3 decades where Texas has eliminated a Latino electoral opportunity in this same district, despite previous court determinations that this violates the law.
This comes a month after the Justice Department sued Texas over its recently passed voter suppression law, saying it illegally targets Texans of color, voters who don't speak English, and voters with disabilities. New York City will require all private employers to mandate their workers get vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 27th with no testing option as an alternative. It's the most aggressive vaccine mandate yet by any state or big city in the U.S. Mayor Bill de Blasio said the mandate could help prevent a winter surge of new infections.
I describe the actions we're taking today as a preemptive strike, get ahead of this problem before it deepens and use the thing that works, vaccination.
Nearly 90% of New York City adult residents have at least one vaccine dose, a higher rate than the national average. This comes as COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths continue to rise rapidly nationwide. The official U.S. death toll from the pandemic is now on pace to pass 800,000 by the end of the year. President Joe Biden's meeting today with Russian President Vladimir Putin amidst growing tensions over Russia's buildup of an estimated over 100,000 troops along its border with Ukraine. The Biden administration says it's responding by sending reinforcements to NATO allies in Eastern Europe. On Monday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the U.S. was prepared to sanction Russia if it launches an invasion of Ukraine.
On financial sanctions, we have consulted significantly with our allies and believe we have a path forward that would impose significant and severe harm on the Russian economy. You can call that a threat. You can call that a fact. You can call that preparation, whatever you want to call it.
Russian officials deny they're planning an invasion of Ukraine. A Kremlin spokesperson Monday called U.S.-Russia relations ahead of Biden's meeting with Putin, quote, quite lamentable. Meanwhile, Russia and India on Monday pledged greater military cooperation as President Putin met with Prime Minister Narendra Modi in New Delhi. Modi agreed to purchase Russian-made surface-to-air missiles, and the pair signed a contract for India to manufacture more than 600,000 Kalashnikov assault rifles. The Biden administration threatened to sanction India over its growing military ties with Russia. In Haiti, another three of the 17 North American missionary hostages taken in October have been released. Christian Aid Ministries says the three freed members are safe and in good spirits. A Haitian gang claimed responsibility for the kidnapping and had threatened to kill the hostages if their ransom was not paid. 12 people remain in captivity. In related news, internal documents have revealed the Homeland Security Administration's Civil Rights Office in late August advised Immigration and Border Enforcement officials not to mass deport Haitian asylum seekers, warning the expulsions could be a violation of U.S. civil and human rights obligations. That's according to BuzzFeed, which reports the civil rights officers were ultimately ignored. Since September, advocates estimate the Biden administration deported some 9,200 Haitians, setting off condemnation from even UN human rights officials. In more immigration news, the Biden administration Monday restarted the contested Trump-era Remain in Mexico program. Since its implementation in 2019, the policy, formerly known as the MPP, or Migrant Protection Protocols, forced tens of thousands of asylum seekers to wait in Mexico while their cases were resolved in U.S. courts. Earlier this year, a federal judge ordered the Biden administration to revive the program, but immigrant justice advocates are denouncing Biden's government for choosing to expand those who are eligible to include asylum seekers from the entire Western Hemisphere, which includes Haitians. The group Human Rights First has tracked over 1,500 reports of murder, torture, rape, and other attacks against asylum seekers forced to remain in Mexico. This is an asylum seeker from Honduras who's been stuck in an encampment in the Mexican border city of Reynosa.
I have been here for 4 months in the Plaza de las Americas, where the migrant camp is located. All we ask for is help. We want to leave, and we have suffered a lot. There are many sick children. We are in danger. We are afraid because we feel unsafe here.
We'll have more on that story later in the broadcast. The Biden administration's accelerated the expansion of new oil and gas wells in the United States, issuing drilling permits on public lands at a faster pace than under President Trump. That's according to a new report by Public Citizen, which found Bureau of Land Management has approved an average of 333 oil and gas drilling permits per month under Biden, 40% faster than it did in the first 3 years of Trump's presidency. This comes despite a campaign promise Biden made during a 2020 debate with Bernie Sanders.
No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period.
Meanwhile, a new study finds the world's biggest fossil fuel companies have made $174 billion in profits during the first 9 months of 2021. CNN reports a top aide to former Vice President Mike Pence is cooperating with the House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. Mark Short was Pence's chief of staff and was present when Pence was rushed out of the Senate chamber and moved to a secure location in the Capitol basement as rioters chanted, "Hang Mike Pence," breaching the building. Donald Trump reportedly banned Short from the White House immediately after the insurrection. Meanwhile, California Republican Congress member Devin Nunes said Monday he's quitting Congress by the end of the year in order to become CEO of the Trump Media and Technology Group. Donald Trump said in October the new company will compete with social media giants like Twitter and Facebook that have banned him from their platforms. Nunes formerly served as chair of the House Intelligence Committee, where he helped to stymie investigations into Russia's role in the 2016 election. In Chicago, actor Jussie Smollett testified in his criminal trial Monday, where he denied orchestrating a fake hate crime on himself and said the attack was not a hoax. Smollett was arrested in 2019, accused of lying to the Chicago police about being violently assaulted on the street. Police believe Smollett, who is gay and African-American, paid two brothers who were personal acquaintances of Smollett's to carry out a staged attack. The former star in Fox's hit TV show Empire is facing 6 counts of felony disorderly conduct and up to 3 years in prison if convicted. In North Carolina, an animal rights advocate has been convicted on felony charges of burglary and larceny for removing a sick baby goat from a goat meat farm. Wayne Shen was given a suspended sentence and 24 months probation. The co-founder of the animal rights organization Direct Action Everywhere was arrested in 2018 for taking the baby goat from the Suspiro Goat Ranch in Pisgah Forest. Shen said the goat was suffering from pneumonia and had lice. His action was broadcast on social media as animal rights advocates often film these public animal rescues from farms where the animals face cruel and unsafe conditions. The Justice Department has ended its latest investigation into the murder of Emmett Till without filing any charges. Till was the 14-year-old black teenager who was brutally abducted, tortured, and killed in Mississippi in 1955 after he allegedly whistled at Carolyn Bryant Dunham, a white woman and store clerk. Federal prosecutors opened their latest probe after a 2017 book quoted Dunham as saying she lied when she said Till made sexual advances towards her. But the Justice Department said Monday it had insufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt Dunham lied to the FBI. Till's family said they were deeply disappointed by the decision to drop the case. Dunham's husband and his half-brother were tried for Till's murder and acquitted by an all-white jury. The two later confessed to beating and shooting Till in a magazine article. Till's mother, Mamie Till Mobley, described her decision to have an open casket and show her son's mutilated body at his funeral. This is a clip from the 2005 film The Untold Story of Emmett Lewis Till.
Well, I looked at Mr. Rayner, and Mr. Rayner wanted to know, was I going to have the casket opened? I said, oh yes, we're going to open the casket. He said, well, Miss Bradley, do you want me to do something for the face? Want me to try to fix it up? I said, no, let the people see what I've seen.
If he had lived, Emmett Till would have celebrated his 80th birthday in July. And the world-renowned political dissident, linguist, and author Noam Chomsky turns 93 years old today. We recently had a chance to speak to him at his home in Tucson, Arizona, and I asked him about what gives him hope as he turns 93.
I hope that the young people who are demonstrating in the streets of Glasgow, the mine workers who are in the United States who are agreeing to a transition program to sustainable energy, many others like them, I hope that they will be in the ascendancy and can take the measures that are feasible and available to create a much better world than the one we have and the one that the people of the world deserve.
Noam Chomsky will join us tonight in a special virtual event as we celebrate Democracy Now!'s 25th anniversary. We will speak with Noam along with Angela Davis, Martina Spada, Winona LaDuke, Arundhati Roy, plus the two Dannys, that's Danny Glover and Danny DeVito. The event will also feature musical performances by Lila Downs and Tom Morello. The virtual celebration begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. Go to democracynow.org for more details. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be scattered flurries and a high of minus 6 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be cloudy with sunny breaks and a high of minus 6 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be scattered flurries and a high of 1 degree Celsius. Saturday, there will be rain and a high of 10 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly sunny with a high of 1 degree Celsius. Monday brings a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 5 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 2 degrees Celsius.
Where did through the cedars. When she first laid eyes on the damage, she cannot consider what it would come to me.
Life. and a freelance undertaker, his jacket lined with skin. He likes it. It keeps him warm.
Tell him it's all right.
We'll love you later.
Tell him it's all right.
We'll love you later.
Tell him it's all right.
We'll love you later.
Tell him it's all right.
We'll love you later.
I was born in the pasture, on the eve of the rapture, at the Uppsala Jewelry. In the one hand, my legacy in the other, neither ideal identity.
Scream or whisper about my heart.
In this collective of postures, am I audience or author? I chase my tail and limp with age.
Kobe making hits, boy.
We was arguing, saying this was the last time. I get so angry, you compare me to your last guy. You bring up the past and say that I wasn't trying. But who was wiping your tears the night that you were crying? Saying shit's getting on my skin. Dirty tactics for an argument to win. No pilot lights on, but I'm still gaslit. Quiet days filled with regrets and silence, yeah. And you ruined so many things for me. I can't even listen to Aminé. Like, I fucking love Aminé. But memories taint things I want to grow. I moved on despite the song about hate. I need to vocalize my feelings. I've been quiet for too long. Not to be cliche to glow up real since you've been gone. Be Montclair every month and even some Givenchy. And that's the truth, you can check my IG. The whip came a few months after you. Didn't have to play sugar daddy, so the racks grew. The funny things, your best friend was even in my DMs. Snakes stay closer than you really perceive them. Then again, we both made our choices. Go separate ways, I guess that's how life is. Indecisive, with mites in and over our heads. Searching for dreams that we know won't last.
And the money getting longer since you told me goodbye. All my people moving stronger, now you out of my life. Reminiscing on the time that I spent. Tell me it's money, how you spend another time on it, bitch. Ain't no way that bitch gon' break my spirit. Thinking about you when I write these lyrics. We was close, but girl, you wasn't the dearest on my heart. But it's my fault, I should've seen things clearer from the start. I wish I'd seen it all, but I don't look too far back. Feel like that dream at all. My mental focus on the back and have you been involved. So we got issues unresolved, that's a problem for you to solve. You just another text to me, never kept the facts to me. It's bad enough you still get brought up on my family. Just keep on praying on my downfall. That someone says you need to worry about yourself more. Yeah.
I've been on my own for so long, it's been a minute since I found you. I've been on my shit and baby, you've been moving, you've been kinda drifting through the world and over ocean. Yeah, I bet that you have seen it all, you would know it all. Gotta get it back, I just got a ball. Pull a couple racks and store the horses in the stall. I can't find concern to worry about it, never stop. Push the clutch in, no, I just gotta rush in. I'm cruising to you late night. Girl, I'm pulling punches with my feelings, it's a fake fight. I don't want no harm to you, I'm trying to build a safe life. Open up the vault and grab that shit right out the safe light. You love that, good sex, good fucking. Never disrespect you, baby, on my mind I'm cuffing. I got you, I want you, the things that you needin'. Baby, please don't get conceited. Move moving back into my life. I swear that you were doing things that many rappers, all these niggas looking for inside a fling. Man, all these strippers wanna act, they wanna talk, they want ka-ching. I gotta get my sights together, clear the weather, better things. It's all a big shame. Impress gang with double O. Everybody be knowing how we move double O. Dead tired, got top with me, he melt the snow. If he rolling, no SP, he gon' rock a show. Let the legacy pass along what we gotta know. Put a curfew on you, it's time to go. I gotta hit you with everything in my arsenal. Because this shit never gonna stop, just watch the flow. Topping off, I'm rocking off like topping off. If you send this text in time, I'll send it back, no dropping off. Love when you was sitting back and let it clap, no hopping off. I just kept on signing on, oh baby, I be logging off.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and editing by me, Nadine Scott, on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal or online at ckut.ca.
It's the most instinctual thing in the world. Across all languages, cultures, babies do it, animals do it, everyone does it.
I've even watched a video of a rat being tickled doing it.
That's a little bit weird.
This week's episode of In the Show with Taz and Marcus looks at why we laugh.
In the show with Taz and Marcus, in the show with Taz and Marcus, in the show with Taz and Marcus,
in the show with Taz and Marcus. Hello, lovely listener, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really, you can listen to it anywhere at all.
The whole point of this podcast is we take the mysteries of the world and we shred them open to reveal the delicious answers inside.
Have you ever wondered why we never see baby pigeons?
Or how Wi-Fi works?
Or if there is in fact a correct way to wipe your bum.
Or how much wood a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could indeed chuck wood.
Well, if you have, good news, listener, you have come to the right place.
Step into the shower as we take those questions that have kept you awake at night and answer them before your very eyes.
And on this lovely day, we tackle a new question and a new mystery.
This is something that has affected everybody. It's irregardless of culture, age, and even species.
Sarah from Oslo asks,
why do we laugh?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus,
in the shower with
Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus, in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
So this week's question comes from Sarah Lairgreed from Oslo. As we said last week, we hadn't actually picked an episode for Monday yet because we wanted to keep it open for your questions. This one came in last Friday and it's brilliant, so I jumped on it straight away.
It is such a good question. Cause you know what? It's such a natural instinct. And when you think about it, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Like, actually, just force yourself to laugh here.
Well, it depends on what variation of a laugh you're looking for. I have quite the cachet.
Quite the cachet of laughs. Okay, give me an angry laugh. Give me a flirtatious laugh.
That's how I got Marcus under my spell.
You can't see how much she's fluttering her eyelashes here. Oh, that was a natural laugh. There you go. Give me a full belly laugh. I have to say, you have a good...
That's the laugh I make when I pretend to laugh at Marcus's jokes.
You have a good catalogue of laughs there. My jokes are incredible, okay?
Do you know what? Laughing is such a weird thing, though. And when you think about it, it is as natural as crying. Babies laugh so incredibly naturally, like, especially when they see Marcus's face.
It is actually true. Like, babies love my face. For anyone who hasn't seen us on Instagram or anything like that, I have a fairly big red beard at the moment. And kids, especially, like, young babies, lose their minds at it. And but like, it's a really soft beard, so whenever they touch it, they just giggle. Yeah, there you go. It's true. So go on. Tell us more, Taz. Tell us more about laughing.
Okay, so all members of the human species understand laughing, and unlike English or French or indeed Swahili, we don't actually have to learn to speak it. It's completely natural. We're born with the capacity to laugh. Very little is known about this specific brain mechanisms responsible for laughter, but we do know that laughter is triggered by many sensations and thoughts, and that it activates many parts of the body.
So something doesn't just happen in our brain that causes us to laugh, right? The laughter needs to be triggered by something, and then that causes the laughing.
Correct. Laughing actually isn't that dissimilar to breathing. We have incredibly fine muscle control over how we let out breath. This is what allows us to make the intricate noises that we call speech. And laughter is pretty much just a form of speech.
I suppose so. I mean, we're talking and then it's like, ha, 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 ha.
But it's actually really interesting because obviously when we write laughter, it's ha, ha, ha. But when we're saying it, it's more like a, huh, huh, huh. Think about it. Like,
do you know how Spanish people write laughter?
Ja, 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 ja,
ja, ja, ja, ja, ja. Imagine that's how people laughed.
Ja, 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 ja.
Oh my God, I love this episode of Family Guy. Ja, 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 ja.
No, but honestly, we make more of a
so it's more just like a straight out air coming out of the lungs.
Yeah, because when you're laughing, like, like it does sound like a kind of percussive air squeezing, which could very well be the easiest sound to make, and that's why it comes so naturally.
It really does come naturally.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, as I said, it comes naturally to almost every animal. Dogs laugh.
Hang on. Dogs laugh?
Dogs laugh.
What?
Monkeys laugh.
What? Monkeys laugh.
This morning, when researching this episode, I saw a video of scientists tickling rats and rats laughing. They were like...
Scientists tickling rats.
Scientists tickling rats.
Like... Do you realise that like they've probably done a PhD? They've probably like literally they're working in a lab as a PhD. Like they are
as
doctor.
A rat tickler.
Like imagine being on a plane and somebody has a heart attack and there's like, is there a doctor on board? And somebody stands up, goes, yes, I'm a doctor who tickles rats.
But imagine that in like your Tinder bio, James, rat tickler.
That sounds a little bit dirty.
It does sound a little bit dirty. But anyway, the
oh
most.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, but the. When all of these animals laugh, be it dogs, rats, monkeys, whatever, all these animals laugh socially. It's always a social thing when they laugh.
So what? They always laugh when they're like together?
Which also goes for humans. Humans laugh for a number of reasons, but most of the time it has nothing to do with just something being funny. Scientist Robert Provine studied laughter and found that less than 1 in 5 cases of laughs were actually in response to humour. So when a joke is involved, the person telling it is actually far more likely to be the one who's laughing.
No way. Like when I told you those incredible jokes earlier.
Yeah, literally. That's exactly it. What's more, we're actually more than 30 times more likely to laugh if there is other people around. So it's almost like laughter is a form of kind of communication.
But what are we trying to say when we laugh?
What are we trying to say when we laugh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is kind of a form of communication. We do it to show understanding, to show that we like others and feel comfortable, or kind of to defuse awkward situations, like the awkward situation when you tell me really bad jokes, I laugh to just try to end the situation. But what's more, laughter is actually contagious.
So just like yawning or cold sores.
Or cold sores, exactly. So to prove that laughter is contagious, there's this study that goes back to the 1960s and it's pretty brilliant. Are you ready
right,
for it?
Right, go on.
Okay, so there's an experiment, not even an experiment, but a phenomenon that dates back to the 1960s that proves that laughing is in fact contagious and it's pretty brilliant. Are you ready
okay,
for it?
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so on the 30th of January 1962, 3 schoolgirls started giggling in a boarding school classroom on the northeastern corner of what is now Tanzania. And this kind of touched off a very strange epidemic. The 3 could not stop laughing, and soon the uncontrollable cackles spread to their classmates. Can you please give us the uncontrollable cackles? So the laughing attacks lasted from a few minutes up to a few hours, and one poor girl reportedly experienced symptoms for 16 days straight.
16 straight days of laughter.
16 straight days
sounds
of laughter.
Sounds like that time we went on holidays for 16 days. Am I right? High five to yourself, Marcus, because you are funny.
Oh, God. But anyway, when 95 of the school's 159 pupils had come down, what came to be known as Omunepo.
Omunipo.
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 Which is the Swahili word for a laughing disease. The school shut down. So 95 of its 159 pupils was diagnosed with this Omunipo, which is a laughing disease, and the school came to a halt. Isn't that like, I feel like if I had thought of that when I was in school, I would have tried to get all my classmates in and like, guys, just laugh uncontrollably for 3 days and we're going to get the school shut down.
Is there not a Monty Python sketch that's like that? It's like the funniest joke in the world, but they can only whisper it to each other and then just like it's hundreds and thousands of people laughing at the same time. They can't stop.
It actually very well could have been based off this.
Yeah.
Anyway, the students returned to their villages when their school was closed, and they took the Omunipo with them, and the affliction spread from person to person, school to school, village to village, and it just spread like wildfire, this Omunipo laughing disease.
So can you imagine a whole village laughing? Like genuinely, like just everybody, like you go into a shop to get a pint of milk, they're having a laugh. You go to the well to get some water, they're having a laugh. You go back to your hut, they're having a laugh. It could be good for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'd say you'd get real sick of it real soon.
Imagine how much you'd be in pain.
Because like even sometimes when I really laugh, belly hard laugh at something, I will get like a little stitch or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it did become a huge pain. The Central African Journal of Medicine reported, the education of the children is being seriously interfered with and there is considerable fear amongst the village communities. This is that the laughing Omunipo was spreading. They could find no explanation for the matter, and when the epidemic finally died down months later, roughly 1,000 people had been struck by the laughing disease. It ended just as quickly as it began. And the only solution that they came up with was one, how laughing is more to do with being together, and two, that laughing is contagious.
I suppose, you know, laughing is all about being together, and it is contagious. Do you remember those days where, like, you would just laugh uncontrollably with your mates, like when you were a kid?
You probably had Omunipo and you didn't even know about it.
Maybe, maybe. I used to do comedy shows for children, and my highest ever, like, I'd say this was like the peak of my comedy career. This is fully serious. I did stand-up for about 10 years. Was making a kid laugh so hard that they pooped their pants.
What?
Yeah.
And what was your joke? Obviously none of the ones you told at the start of this episode.
No, it just had to do with poop. I was like, yeah, listen, it's a story for another day.
But that's Omunipo and the laughing disease.
There you go. So there you go. So we sort of know the effects of laughing today and what makes us laugh. But if we do anything on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we get to the bottom of why.
Why?
Just like with itching or sneezing or yawning, there must be an evolutionary reason why we laugh, yeah?
Okay, evolutionary theory is rife with possible explanations, but one of the most compelling was put forward in 2005 Quarterly Review of Biology article by an undergrad named Matthew Jervis and his advisor, evolutionary biologist David Sloan Wilson.
So what did old Matty and Davy come up with?
So the study is based on the efforts of a quirky 19th century French physician named
Guillaume Duchesne. I like how I just sub in whenever there's a French word. I'm like, Guillaume Duchesne, oui, oui.
So, a quirky 19th century French physician named Guillaume Duchesne, who went around zapping people's faces with electrodes.
That's a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of an evil scientist move.
But luckily for Duchesne, he worked at an old women's hospice. So he had access to loads of prone bodies. He must have been quite the charmer, because according to articles on Duchesne, all the ladies wanted to be electrocuted by, and I quote, little old man with his mischief box.
What? Like that little old man with his mischief box?
Women in this hospice wanted to be electrocuted by the little old man with his mischief box.
Like they actually wrote that? Oh my God.
Genuinely. So applying the prongs of his box to people's faces, Duchesne evoked one kind of smiling, the voluntary kind, the kind of expression we produce when we grin to be polite. You know, like, oh, lovely to see you. The mannerism he discovered involves the face's zygomatic major muscles raising the corners of the mouth. But Duchesne discovered that there was actually a second variety of smiling and laughing, one that occurs when we find something truly entertaining or funny. This expression was more complex, utilizing both the zygomatic major muscles and the orbicularis oculi muscles that form crow's feet around your eyes. You know those crow's feet?
Really? Okay, so basically like, so there's one time, there's kind of the smile you put on, and then there's a genuine smile which engages muscles like in the upper part of your face. So that's why people say a real smile is in the eyes.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So Duchesne was actually never able to reproduce with his electrodes the second form of expression, the one that they find something... The one that the subject finds something really, really interesting. And it's now known as the Duchesne smile or the Duchesne laughter. And he came to believe it was only put at play by the sweet emotion of the soul.
Ah, that old man with his mystery box. His mischief box. Jeez. So Duchesne could get his subjects to the corner of the mouth polite smile, but not like the full smiling eyes belly smile, which suggests that you can't really force that.
Exactly. And more than a century later, Gervais and Wilson, who carried out the study on Duchenne, saw that Duchenne's discovery was evidence that laughter evolved at two different points in human development. First, they posited at a point sometime between 2 million and 4 million years ago came Duchenne laughter, the kind triggered by something funny, an outgrowth of the breathy panty emitted by primates during, you know, play fighting.
Yeah.
It's likely appeared before the emergence of language.
Really?
Yeah, so okay. This sort of laughter was a signal that things were okay, that danger was low and the basic needs were met. And now was as good a time as any to explore, to play or to socialise. So that's the Duchenne full body laugh.
And what was the other kind?
Sometime in the hundreds of thousands of years after that, according to Gervais and Wilson, the other sort of laughter emerged, the non-Duchenne sort, the kind that isn't dependent on something being necessarily funny. As people develop cognitively and behaviourally, they learn to mimic the spontaneous behaviour of laughter to take advantage of its effect.
Okay, right.
They couldn't get it right. They couldn't stimulate the eye movements of real laughter and smiling, but it was very, very close. Mimic laughter was a way to manipulate others, sometimes for mutually beneficial purposes and sometimes for more devious reasons. As Gervais and Wilson put in their paper, non-Duchenne laughter came to occur in aggressive, nervous or hierarchical contexts, functioning to signal, to appease, to manipulate, to deride or to subvert.
Wow. That is far more, there's more to a laugh than a laugh then, isn't it?
Yeah, so what originally started out as a laugh evolved to a fake laugh so that people could use it as a manipulation tool.
That really shows that laughter isn't just a response to humour. It's like this primal human form of communication.
Exactly. It's a primal human tool, one of the building blocks of society. It taps into the core of what we are as social creatures, expressing from one person to another what often cannot be said in any other way. Either that everything is good fun, or in the case of the Omunepo, that something is very, very wrong.
So sort of like on the episode on Why Do We Cry, some scientists speculated it was to convey to others that something was wrong. Laughter is the opposite, to convey that something is good and that, you know, everything's taken care of and the basic needs are sorted so they can focus on kind of the luxuries of life, like socializing and comfort and playing.
That is exactly it. And the most obvious example of that is when you look at a baby. If a baby cries, they can't tell you, listen, I've shit my pants. But if they cry, you know that something is up. If they're laughing, they can't say, I'm so happy and this is brilliant, I'm really comfortable. But they're conveying that through laughter. So it's like the earliest form of communication without speech.
It's literally a thumbs up or a thumbs down conveyed in breathy pulsations of air.
That is the explanation that should be in the Oxford English Dictionary, I think.
There you go. Well, there you have it. Any facts to explain the episode?
So, Marcus, you're just back from the gym, but good news, you may be able to stop going if you stay in my company for long enough. Do you want to know why? 15 minutes of solid full body laughing burns 40 calories for 15 minutes.
Now, that's why. That's why I'm still fat. That's it, Taz.
Oh,
yeah. My love handles are a tribute to how bad your jokes are.
Okay, well, on the same buzz as that, some studies have reported that laughing for at least 15 minutes a day can add around 2 days to your overall lifespan.
I'm going to die really soon.
One more.
Okay, go on.
In groups, women laugh more than men. That one's not too particularly surprising.
Yeah.
But what is a little bit surprising, women laugh more at men than men laugh at women. Ha ha ha, Marcus. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
What can we do to end it?
Go with that line again.
So in groups, women laugh more than men, which isn't too surprising. But mm-hmm. What is even better is that women laugh more at men than men laugh at women.
Do you know what? You can get concerned about like men being funny or women being funny. I'm sitting over here just fascinated that it's someone's job to tickle rats.
In the show, there's a Marcus. In the show, there's a Marcus. In the show, there's a Marcus. In the show, there's a Marcus.
Well, ha ha ha, there you have it. The reasons that we laugh.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting. Everything's okay. Just having a laugh.
Guys, thank you so much for dedicating your ears to us for the last 15 or so minutes. I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you did in fact enjoy that episode, then good news, there are over 50 episodes for you to binge listen to.
You can get them on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And remember to subscribe and review and tell all of your friends.
Podcasts spread through word of mouth, so if you've enjoyed this episode, please do recommend it to your friends, to your family.
To your granny.
To your rats.
To your rats. Yeah, they might laugh. If you want to get in touch with us, it couldn't be easier. On Facebook, just search for In The Shower with Taz and Marcus. Or if you're an Instagram or Twitter kind of person, just look up at In The Shower Pod.
If you want to drop us an email, you can get us at intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
Every little person who sends us a message or a picture of their dog or just a nice thing, anything, will send you a little reply back.
You listeners are invisible to us, so when you get in contact and just say hello or that you enjoy what we're doing, it really, really does brighten up our day. So as Marcus said, if you get in touch with us, we will send you back a personalised video. As always, we're looking for question submissions for the next little while. If there is any questions that you would like us to answer, then please send them on.
No question is too big or too small. A couple of thank yous to end the episode.
Thank you so much to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Headstuff studio. We love you.
Thank you so much to our incredibly talented friend, Florence Robinson, for designing our cover art.
Next up, thank you so much, Dave Gertzman.
Dave did our jingle, and if you want to check him out on Instagram, it's at Dave's Recordorama.
Next week, we're going to be back with another brilliant question.
Next week's question comes from Shane McKeown in Ballydehob in West Cork.
What does Shane want to know, Marcus?
Are superpowers real?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Looking back now, I didn't know how I could have changed things, stepped up for the fight and do what's right. I should have known how I might have fixed things. Until she feels safe again, the sun won't shine, the rain comes in. So save some strength for the passage, it's a heavy load. Say a prayer for the passengers, wherever they go. Get some sleep on this journey, we got a long ways to go. We won't shoot the messenger, cause he speaks of things he doesn't know. There once was passion, even in your anger. I can still see love, even in your pain. But deny your blank stare, no one's spoken. Makes me wonder if things could ever be the same. So, say some strength for the passage, it's a heavy load. Say a prayer.
This feeling like there's nowhere left to go but to you. Cause we're falling just like dominoes.
Neatly stacked in place, grin sliced across my face. I really wish they'd push me.
Well, that wraps up the show. Keep listening to CKUT.
He's still a brother. If I was a woman, push a bra in the summer heat, beads of sweat down my back, selling burgers on TV. Torso like a twig, lighting up a scene. Terrified, walking alone at night. Oh, forever secretary, dishes done in solitary. Just as equally fucked up woman.
Vous écoutez Sleepy King Radio, poésie et musique.